Yin to the other's gang, two sisters, both curious and strange. A likely duo and they witty from the brain. It's the magic hour, Mercedes and Jay.
Greetings, magic mobbers. Welcome, boys and babes. It's the magic hour, a place where we navigate through life's peaks and valleys with all the vulnerability and shamelessness we can muster. With the help of world-class guests from all walks of life, we uncover new truths and valuable tools for manifesting our highest potential. I'm your host, Mercedes Terrell, along with my partner in shine, Jade Bryce.
Hey, you guys. So before we jump in, I just wanted to mention that Mercedes and I have been so moved by the reviews you guys have been sending in. If you haven't sent one in, you can do it right now on whatever podcast app you're listening to. You don't even have to hit pause. You can do it while you continue to listen.
Yes. And I want to mention that we're doing a little contest right now, guys. We are giving away a $100 Amazon gift card to one or two of those lucky reviewers. All you got to do is write the review, take a snapshot of it, post it on your Instagram, and make sure you tag us at the Magic Hour, spelled M-A-J-I-C. And we will pick two of you per month to give those gift cards to. And I am just saying, it's kind of a new initiative, so you could get real lucky. Just give it a try. Love you guys for doing it. All right, enough diddly-dallying, fiddle-faddling around. Jade, let's get into this interview with our amazing guest today. I'm very excited to talk to you.
Please help me welcome an actress who is currently known for the upcoming film Top Gun Maverick, Designated Survivor, Station 19, and Grey's Anatomy. But we'll also have her tell you about her other big projects coming up. Growing up, she was bullied about her looks, and though she had acting aspirations, she didn't believe she could succeed. Today, she's not only a working actress with dozens of TV credits and one of the faces of the Dove Real Beauty campaign, but she is also a self-esteem mentor on the ways women of any age can build belief in themselves and become formidable forces for good. Chelsea, thank you so much for being the change in the world. Please welcome. Please help me welcome her to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
My words are jumbling today.
But I heard them all. God bless you, Jade.
You know what I mean. You know. She's hung out with me before. She's used to it. So, Chelsea, we want to hear about your upcoming projects. But first, can you tell us a little bit about your story and what gave you a passion for acting and also what you've learned through it?
Oh, sure. Well, my story, I grew up in Georgia. And so, of course, being this little Black girl in the South, I had a very difficult time finding where I belonged. Back at that time in the South, I mean, I don't know why people don't really talk about this, but segregation in many sense,
yeah,
and is still very much a real thing, you know, and I did not live in the Black part of town. I did not speak a certain way that made me fit in with my Black peers that I was able to find. My mother was a doctor, and so we grew up in a certain area, and I went to certain schools where I was one of the only Black kids around. And as much as I wasn't accepted in my community of color at that time, I also wasn't accepted in the other world, because it's like, oh, they very much saw me as other, and like, oh, well, why don't you speak this way? And why don't you dress this way? And so I had a really, really difficult time. All of that took an intense toll on me as a child, feeling like I had no home. I had no identity. I had no place to fit in. And so one of the things that I turned to at the time was acting. My mother, she had actually heard about, there was this place called the Springer Opera House, and every summer they did like a summer theater camp. And I still remember the very first time that I was on the stage. Like, it still makes me emotional just because it was the very first time that I felt seen as a person, not as a thing, but as a human being. Mm-hmm. And it was a really magical moment for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that started me on the path of what is this mm-hmm. and how can I do this more? When I was 15, 16, by the grace of God, I convinced my parents to let me move to Los Angeles with my cousin, who at the time was living in New York and was starring off Broadway. She was also an actress. And they said, okay, she can be your legal guardian. I would never trust wow. a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
But they let me do that. And I was still at the time very much struggling with this sense of self. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you that if you ever thought that you had self-esteem issues, walk into the entertainment industry or yeah. walk into even the modeling industry, anything that has to do with having a sense of self, yeah. especially putting on other characters, that will mess with your head.
Yeah.
And it did. And it very much, it did. And at 16 years old, definitely like at one of my darkest periods, I was so blessed to meet this woman who at the time was a self-esteem coach. And, you know, back at that time, I was like, what is that?
Yeah.
And she turned out was the consultant, the brand consultant behind Dove when they first started doing these campaigns for real beauty. And she took a small group of girls, about five of us. We were like 16, 17, 18 years old. And she mentored us. Mm. And she was... Why am I getting emotional at the beginning of this interview? at the very beginning of this. Yeah, but she, her name's Jess Wiener. She is doing miraculous work to this day, changing the way that women are portrayed in media and the way that big brands market to young women so that they see their beauty yeah. and their femininity as a source of power instead of something that is a detriment yeah. in this world. And she changed my life. She absolutely changed my life. And you know, it's been a very long journey because of course I am very much still in entertainment and I've grown into an adult while being an actress. And so the self-esteem journey has never ended. And the beautiful thing though, is that as I work myself out, I get to work myself out in front of a camera where naturally the characters that have always been attracted to me have been young women who are really deeply fighting for what they believe in, who are fighting to be heard, fighting to be seen. And I get messages all the time that people say that inspired me. And that's why I'm an actor.
Yeah.
I want to touch those people. Just like myself. Just like how I wish I had a great role model on TV. I want to be that.
Yeah. How amazing that a mentor came in your life at 16. I always think about my mentor, Tom, came in my life at 26. And I always think about, God, if someone would have just came in my father's life at 26, what difference it would have made. And I also think it's so cool that your parents, everyone knows the effect an entertainment industry can have on a 16-year-old girl, but that means that they really believed in your dream, which is like such a powerful thing you can give your children. It's like to believe in them and their dream and make like... How much more empowering can you be than to say, yeah, go do it, you know, than, you know, to try to push them into who we want them to be instead. So I thought that was really cool. And I also, you know, you brought up Georgia, right?
Georgia.
Yeah. So my church, last Sunday, we talked about racism and white fragility, and they brought five different races up on stage, and they asked each one of them, when was the first time you realized your race? And when was the first time you discovered racism? And one of the girls up there, she was a younger Black girl, said that when she was, and this was in the, you know, in the South, when she was in middle school, she got beat up for walking like a white girl. And it broke my heart just for how she walked. So I thought, God, you can't fit in when you're, when you're a minority. And it was hard for me to empathize. I mean, it was hard for me to grasp the pain
which makes it, you know, you still want to empathize. But I, since I have never really been a minority, and I also don't see people's race when I look at them, the way I related was I went to 18 different schools. So I was always feeling like who, yeah. And always feeling like, who am I? How do I fit in? What, like, what's cool here? And that was one thing that I really loved about acting as well, which is how I met you, because it brought me out to LA, but was that you kind of got to just become somebody else and decide yeah. who you were, you know, it was, for me, it was very healing to mm-hmm. play another role. So
yeah. Discovering yourself through that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can absolutely agree. It's, acting, entertainment itself, within itself, is a double-edged sword, mm-hmm. right? Because just as like how with acting, it can give you this pathway to learn about yourself and to strengthen your sense of who you are, mm-hmm. as you are trying on these other characters and as you are empathizing with these people and what they're going through, the same thing where if you don't already have that strong sense of self, mm-hmm. it can pull you away further from who you are because especially when you are trying to do it professionally, you have to know, you are selling yourself. Therefore, right. you have to know what it is that you're putting out there.
Mm-hmm. And the characters are literally asking you to fill the shoes of these role. I mean, the yeah. producers or whoever, you know, is picking you, the casting directors are asking you to fill the shoes of some certain role. And so now you're trying to fit in to that mm-hmm. role
exactly.
over and over again. But you do make a really good point that at the same time it allows you to test out different things and see how that feels and it's probably a really great practice people could use in their own lives of how to mm-hmm. find empathy for the people around us, you know, the mm-hmm. people we share this planet with overall.
Yeah. So
I want to ask you, Chelsea, about your self-esteem journey, let's call it, especially in the industry, the acting industry and the entertainment industry, that can sometimes glorify youth and beauty with females especially. So can you talk about that a bit?
Oh, sure. There's actually, funny enough, if you actually go onto my Instagram, maybe it was last year or 2 years ago, I posted a photo of myself at like 15. Mm-hmm. And I say this just, and I invite you to go look at it just because of the fact that I look like a different person. Mm-hmm. And so, it's so funny. I would say probably like my farthest away from myself, mm-hmm. if I could say that, I loved playing with my outsides. Mm-hmm. So whether it was, I put on, you know, giant, amazing hair extensions and like layers thick of makeup. I had lash extensions before anybody knew what they were. Like 2006, y'all. I had colored contacts. I looked like a different person.
Right.
I looked like a different person. And I remember I once went to this, I want to say it was, I don't remember what it was, but I heard an interview where there's this celebrity makeup artist and she was talking about what she did is for a living. And that what she did for a living was to not to try to put a lot of makeup onto a model or an actor to make them look more beautiful, but to unveil who they are. And it was the first time that I'd ever heard that. And so my self-esteem journey, it has looked like, really, I mean, if that was step one of looking that way and covering myself up, as I started to work with Jess and then started to find other mentors in my life who were able to speak to those parts of myself that were really, really, really wounded, that's when I would say that I started to really put my feet on the ground for the first time. Started to learn that being a Black woman was an asset in my life. I started to heal my relationship with that. I started to look at media differently, especially what is being marketed to us as women. I started to just even question how I dress and like, who am I dressing for? Mm-hmm. Am I dressing for the attention of you know, men so that I can then feel good about myself? Is that the feedback loop? So that like my worth is just in what I look like and then reinforcing that. And I'm like, no. And that's when a few years ago, I used to have big curly hair and I cut it all off because I wanted to know what I looked like. I wanted to know what I felt like. And that was a huge step for me because I identified so much with my beauty and with my hair and intentionally started to wear less makeup and intentionally started to just look deeper underneath all the layers. Start to uncover.
Yeah, I resonate with that deeply. I feel like I'm still going through that journey for sure. I'm still figuring out how to feel comfortable in my most natural state, you know, I guess we can put it. But I grew up in a house with stepsisters, like older stepsisters who are always kind of, you know, older sisters generally are mean. I'm an older sister to my younger sisters as well. So I was a terrible, terrible person sometimes too. But for me, you know, I'm half Mexican. So, and they were Italian white, you know, they're white essentially. And they would call me Beaner. And so I would always try to like do things that I thought made me seem less Mexican. Like, wear my hair straight or not wear red or, I mean, like weird things, you know, that for whatever my
child made that.
Yeah. So coming from that and then coming into this industry that asks us to look a certain way and, you know, Jade and I have been professional models for most of our careers. So like, you feel like you have to have all the things checked off. You have to be wearing the lashes and the extensions and the makeup a certain way. And the, you know, you have to be able to walk in heels a certain way and hold your posture this way and all these things. And it's like exhausting. It gets to a point where you're like, I can't keep up with this.
And it's part of the job. But the thing is when you don't have all that on, you feel like you're not presentable anymore.
Right.
You know,
you're not enough.
Yeah. And here's the thing is that we live in a time right now that is so beautiful because it's all about rebelling against that.
Right.
It is
about breaking the structure. Now you look at models like, of course, Ashley, who am I thinking of? Ashley Graham.
Yeah.
You know, or Iskra Lawrence, or who is the beautiful model that has vitiligo. You know, you look
Winnie
at
Harlow, yeah.
Yes, thank you. And never before in history have we been able to put women who look how they actually look on the forefront. Yeah. And so that's why it's so up to us to break that structure.
Yeah. We're working hard on it. We've got our little hashtag keep it realish where we're trying to deconstruct all the layers of stuff down to who we really are. And
if we post a modeling photo that we actually post the edits that the photographer did, because photographers want to edit their photos, it's their work, but we post that and with that hashtag. So that's something we're trying to be a part of that movement as well.
Yeah. I think it's important to note that there's still going to be edited photos in the world because at the base level, we're trying to, you know, when you're trying to make money off of a photo or video or whatever, you're trying to make it eye-catching enough so people stop and look at it. Yeah. And sometimes that does take edits. But if we can at least say how those things were edited, then people aren't comparing themselves to this unattainable thing.
Yeah.
But I also just wanted to bring up the saying that's like so now becoming a part of me, which is you already are. And I felt like when you were talking about how you're removing all these layers of hair and makeup and contacts and all the things, that's what you're digging for. Like the fact that you already are, it's just a matter of uncovering all these veils of false.
Peeling the onion.
Yeah. Peeling the onion back.
And I think I also find it interesting. I don't know. I'm sure it's true for y'all, but I found it true with my other girlfriends that all the things that we thought were quote unquote flaws in ourselves, that the hearts that end up loving us, our partners, those are the things they love most about us. Whether it be freckles or our gap tooth or frizzy hair. And I remember Mercedes brought up trying to not look Mexican because of the things her sister said. I remember showing up to a modeling gig in my early 20s and my hair is naturally curly and I had it naturally curly and the lady sent me home because she said I look too Mexican and I'm half Mexican. So it was, even though I don't look Mexican, I'm half Mexican. So she thought she could say that. But I thought like,
She thought she could say it.
The way she worded it, right. And the way she worded it, though, I thought it sounded like it was bad to look who I was.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I was always straightening my hair for every single gig, would never wear it curly. And then if I was dating a guy, I would feel insecure about it, about him seeing it curly. But it turned out every guy I've ever dated has always preferred my hair curly. So it's interesting how sometimes it works out that way. And so it's another reminder to embrace our flaws, because we'll be loved for them. And
that's what I was just going to say, that it's not even a flaw. It's not even a flaw. It's like, we're so gorgeously human. That's something that my boyfriend now has taught me, that he looks at my scars and he looks at like the bags under my eyes and my morning breath. And he loves it because it's human.
Yeah. It's relatable.
It's relatable, and it's that vulnerability that is so stunning.
Yeah.
And if I could, because I can relate to the experience, Jade, that you were saying, that you have, both of you, Mercedes and Jade. It was one of my first big guest starring roles on a show, and I showed up with my big curly hair at the time, and the hairstylist was like, why would you show up that way? She was like, it's going to take me hours to straighten this. Why would you show up this way? And I'm like, they know exactly what my hair looks like. The producers know. They hired me with my hair like this. She didn't believe me. She had us get on a little golf cart and go down to the set and talk to the showrunner. Marched me up to him and said, what do you want me to do with this?
Right.
Wow. And
there's so much shame that just gets thrown around, and it's not ours to hold on to. It's like,
it's not. And it was all hers.
Yeah.
It was all hers. And you know, and this,
someone has projected onto her what they think beauty is supposed to look like. And then she's seeing you through that filter.
So, I think she has the credentials to somehow force it onto you or something. I don't know.
Exactly. Being able to question why we think we think and why we do what we do.
That's
everything.
And I know we want to move on to more here, but I just wanted to also note that it is so interesting the way that we strive, especially as young people, to be perfectionists in the way we look, because we want to feel wanted and accepted by groups, you know, by other people. We want to be part of the tribe that we think we want to be part of.
Yeah.
And we think the way to do that is to be this perfect being that's got all the things in order and meets all these standards, whatever that, you know, quote unquote. And then as you get older, you realize that all that stuff that you built up and thinking that you're creating this perfect being is actually walls in between you being able to relate with your tribe, the people who actually are going to be the ones you care about for the rest of your life, the ones that are going to be in your life for the rest of your life. It's crazy. It's like literally the exact opposite, but it's how our brains work. So we have to, like you're saying, question why we think the way we think, because that really gets us to the root of that, going, oh, all I want is to feel loved and wanted. So what's going to get me there? It's not me being so perfect that people are looking at me and going, I can't even relate to that robot. You know, it's being real.
It's being real.
Thing to keep in mind, y'all.
Hashtag keep it realish.
Yes. Yeah. So you've said before that you believe entertainment is one of the most important tools for raising the consciousness of the world. And I agree with this so much, but can you go into why you feel this way?
Oh, yeah. The reason why I feel this way is because I know my experience and my brother's experience of being two little kids whose parents were always working, and we sat in front of the TV and we learned what we thought it meant to be a good person, what we thought it meant to be a woman, what we thought it meant to be a man, we thought you had to do and be to succeed in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I love the television that I watched when I was younger, some of it, like Lizzie McGuire, some of it taught me that it was really cool to be who I was. And then other parts of it, it didn't inspire me in a positive way. And so I know for myself that I have walked out of a movie theater or turned off a television after a show ended and have like sat up in my seat and been like, just had a fire to be a bigger person. Mm. That's why entertainment is so important. It's because your conscious mind gets to sit back while your subconscious mind gets to take over and just listen. Mm. That's why it's so important to be discerning about what we watch. And then also to take for us as people in entertainment, to take responsibility for what we put out and what we create.
God, that's tough. I mean, and so much of that is happening on social media, obviously.
Yeah, it's become
our new
there.
Form of entertainment. Not really even new anymore, but figuring out how to walk that very fine line when you're in the entertainment industry of, I need to make money to survive. I'm a starving actress or model, and not compromising, you know, your morals or compromising what you want to put out into the world, but making a paycheck at the same time and dealing with the powers that be in the entertainment industry. You know, that's a lot to juggle.
Yeah.
100%. And I think that it's like, it's a, you know, small step by step by step, you know, in every single moment, am I keeping my integrity? Mm-hmm. And I, you know, am I being responsible for what I'm putting out? Yeah. And then of course it's those small steps and those small actions that will lead to the long course of having done so.
I love that you said subconscious, because what we're watching when we're just folding laundry and just killing time, the mind numbing stuff, when you don't really want to think, so you just put on whatever, our subconscious doesn't know that that's not true. And so it's taking that in still and shaping what we feel about love and about the world. So it is so important that even when we just want to put on something and binge out on Netflix, that it is something that we want to feed our subconscious, you know?
Absolutely. That could not be said better. Mm-hmm.
It's great. This is somewhat related, but our producer, John, his daughter was dyslexic and was struggling in school. And so what he did was he had her watch TV. He'd had her watch movies with subtitles on so that she was reading it while hearing it. And now she's like the best reader in her class.
Wow.
So
can I tell you a secret?
Yeah.
I literally have not told anybody this.
Oh.
I don't think ever. Growing up, I used to stutter really badly.
Oh, wow.
And I would put the caption on TV and I would read it. I would read it out loud and alone in my room. And it helped me to get over my
fear
and my fear of speaking out loud.
What a magic trick. That's amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I love that you've never told anyone before, and it just happened to be on the magic hour. Yeah.
I love it. It's never struck me to tell anybody that before. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, I love this. There's so many of those things floating around in our brain, and then something brings it about and we're like, huh, maybe this could be useful to someone else. I should say this thing out loud. Seriously, because I mean, we just go about life.
All my secrets.
Yeah.
Not all of them.
Oh my goodness. Well, let's see. I was going to move us on, but I wanted to ask you, maybe if you could give us your definition of beauty and of self-esteem.
Let's see. Beauty for me is how I feel on the inside. It definitely has a feeling sense to it. It feels light, it feels airy, it feels like a buoyancy in my body. It's no longer about like how I look, but it's about how I hold it inside, how it feels. Because then when you feel that way, you radiate out beauty.
Mm.
And self-esteem, my definition of self-esteem is how much I believe myself to be worth. It's my self-worth.
Okay.
Meaning that my self-worth, it's not connected to anything in my experience. It's connected to I, you know, regardless of anybody's religious beliefs, but you know, I've been made by God for a purpose. Mm-hmm. And that's what my self-esteem is. It's mm-hmm. that direct connection, that direct lineage to my creator, and mm-hmm. holding that specialness that I am something that was here purposefully.
Mm-hmm. You articulated that so beautifully. And when I first met you, you're 29 now?
I am.
So when I first met you, was it 8 years ago? So you were only 21.
Oh God.
Chelsea, I had no idea. I thought you were just so mature and so well, you held yourself together so well. And, I remember when you came over and you shot a music video for my roommate. And then yeah. when we had that crazy sleepover, when we went to, we went to Subway in our jazzercise outfits around. So anyhow, in that time, I remember thinking you were one of the most beautiful women I'd ever seen. And I remember all my roommates being so in love with you and just like, what, is Chelsea's coming over? Okay, everybody. And so you were like, you were just so, to me, you were like one of the most beautiful women. But the way you described beauty just now is mm-hmm. how I see you now, because now it radiates differently. Like before it was like, you can't ignore the beauty of this woman. But now it's like, it's so much more of your becoming that it's like, you can't, it's more of like,
it's part of your being.
It's like a light coming out of you, you know, and not just what you see on the outside, but it's like the entire essence. So I love that you articulated that so well.
You're embodying it.
Yeah.
Thank you. You have no idea how much I appreciate, hearing that. Wow. Yeah.
And the self-esteem.
Sorry for breaking the secret, Marty. Sorry. That's my old roommate.
Amazing. The pact. Don't tell Chelsea the pact how much we love her.
Yeah. I have no idea.
So the self-esteem definition too, I think that's such a big point to get across to everybody. I mean, everybody on this planet, I think.
Everybody, whether you believe it or not.
Yeah, deals with their sense of worthiness. You know, why am I here? I mean, those are the existential questions, the root of the existential questions. What is my purpose? Why am I here? Am I enough for whatever my purpose is? You know, it's so big. These questions are so big and looming and overwhelming that most people just do everything they can to not have to think about them, instead of figuring out what has made me feel unworthy, or like I even need to define a certain purpose, you know, like why am I not enough by just existing and waking up every day and being grateful for that? Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's so many, I don't have any answers to the big questions, except for, keep asking them and keep, asking the deeper questions underneath of, you know, why do I feel unworthy in whatever situation that comes
because
up?
Because it's not, it's also not, those are not your thoughts. If you are feeling unworthy, those are not your thoughts. Those are someone else's thoughts that have come into your mind. Mm. And you've got to get to the root of that. Whose thoughts am I hearing? Whose voices, like, you know, have been projected onto me? And like dig that up and heal that. Otherwise you'll just keep hearing it too.
Yeah. I think about like, and I don't have any children myself, but I think about a small baby probably doesn't question worthininess, you know?
That's exactly like, here's my what need. I was going to say.
Yeah. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it was my mother who told me this, that babies are born with only two fears. It's the fear of loud noises and the fear mm-hmm. of falling. Oh. And they're not afraid of anything else. People are literally taught how to fear, mm-hmm. how to feel unworthy, mm-hmm. how to stop themselves. That's something that we literally teach ourselves. Mm. Or that our society, our community, our parents, whatever your structure is, has taught you.
Right, it's learned. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that it's all learned.
Fascinating stuff. So I have a note here to ask you about the dichotomy of having it all and depression and anxiety related to that.
Yeah. Oh, it's so funny. Well, I think Jade actually just highlighted it perfectly for me because I because the reason why I was laughing to myself when you were just saying that from when we had first met and mm-hmm. of course, that sleepover that we had had and the way that you saw me and even your roommate saw me, that, you know, where like from the outside it's you were seeing what you were seeing, right. And yet from the inside, I felt so hollow at that time in my life. I felt so empty. Like one of my teachers, my really great spiritual teacher, she calls it a chocolate Easter bunny.
Like they're hollow.
Chocolatey. Yeah, exactly. They look beautiful on the outside, but they're hollow on the inside. And that's the dichotomy, I think, of when we know how to finesse ourselves and we know how to make things look really beautiful and gilded on the outside, whether that's in what we look like or how we're acting. Mm-hmm. Or you know, how we're presenting ourselves to the world, that I'm just like, I got taken by that. Wow.
Yeah.
That it's that for me was that dichotomy at that time in my life where everybody thought I had it all together,
right?
But I know what was going on internally for me. That was one of the, I was at a low point. Granted, I met my self-esteem mentor when I was 16, but life is a journey, you know, it's like, and it's all about the next layer of the onion that you're uncovering. And, and so
I saw a quote yesterday that was like, and this is true for everybody, whether they believe it or not, I saw a quote that said something along the lines of, if you could only see how beautiful you are, you would stumble at your own feet. But it's interesting. We see ourselves every day. We don't know what we look like to a stranger or to our girlfriend's roommates. You know, like we never see our own beauty because we see ourselves every day. But,
and we've talked a lot about on this show, I call it falling in love in the dark, or falling in love with other people, or finding soulmates or kindred spirits through other senses than vision, because there's so much, I mean, our entire lives, we, for the most part, rely on what we're seeing and the beauty. Yeah. When we talk about someone being beautiful, that's usually how we're perceiving them through our eyesight. Mm-hmm. Wherein the reality is, if you were to close your eyes and talk to people without ever seeing them,
you'd experience them so differently.
Yeah.
You'd experience them differently for sure, but you'd also you'd open up so much more potential to connect with people on a level that's sustainable, because physical beauty is not necessarily, you know, physical beauty, quote unquote, because what is that anyway? But it's not sustainable either. I mean, we all are going to change and evolve and age, and our cells are, you know, we're all headed the same direction. So I think it's just a good reminder that we have other ways to perceive beauty. It's not just visual. Yeah.
Can I actually build on that?
Well, yeah.
I love what you just said, Mercedes, because this is something that I get to practice as an actor, which is, not looking at what somebody looks like, but looking at who somebody is being. Mm-hmm. What I mean? Yeah. So this is also one of the reasons why, I mean, I don't know for you all, since you all have both also modeled, but you know, for me as an actor, I feel silly saying this. Things I never say out loud. But as an actor, I find it fascinating to watch my own work back. Because I get to, that's the only way that I get to see myself from another perspective. I get to see who I'm being. And I'm like, oh wow, it's not anymore about my outsides, but like I really enjoy who the girl on that screen is being. I like her. Yeah, strangely enough, that has really, really built my self-esteem.
That's really cool.
I think that that's one of the biggest tips that people can do. Like, make sure that you are always taking photos and videos of yourself, or like, you know, capturing moments. Allow yourself to watch them back and actually experience yourself.
Yeah.
That is a really good tip.
Yeah.
I mean, I know most people are, not most people, but a lot of people are going to be listening to this going, y'all three models are a bunch of assholes talking about how you want to take pictures of yourselves and videos and look at them all day. They're like, the last thing I want to do is look at my damn self. It's too much, you know, too much work or something.
But on that note, it's also cool to think about your life as you being a character in a movie. How do you want to react to that lover when they're hurting? How do you want to be present at that date? And who do you want that date to be with to make the movie one that you would want to watch? Like, how do you want your character to dress and to feel and to react and who do you want playing the key roles, you know? So that's also another cool way to look at it.
That's a great exercise to be able to step back and see that. Mm-hmm.
But I do want, I mean, not to, just to not leave it on a beat of, I'm not trying to say everyone's so hideous they can't look in the mirror, but I'm trying to say that people don't want to look in the mirror because it is a lot of work because we have to actually confront what's going on.
I don't want to look in the mirror every day.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So it happens to be our job. A lot of the time we have to literally be paid to do that. Look in the mirror. Like I say that sometimes I won't leave, you know, I won't put on makeup for less than however many dollars because I mean, that's a lot of freaking work to address everything I got going on that I don't want to, you know, show to the world today or whatever. But all I'm trying to do is just relate the fact that we all have reasons that we don't want to look in the mirror, mm-hmm. and taking the effort, like you're saying, Chelsea, to do that uncomfortable work, you know, be honest with yourself when you're looking in the mirror and say, okay, look, here's what I need to work on. It's not, I'm not even saying this is physical stuff. I know it's exactly what you're saying, Chelsea. It's not physical stuff.
We're not talking
about physical stuff. You already got the physical stuff down. Trust me.
We're talking about the being.
I am talking about, mm-hmm. when you're acting that character or when anybody who's not even an actor looks in the mirror and looks at the character, has to look deep enough to go, okay, well, this is the character that I'm actually trying to avoid not looking at because it's not who I want to be. That's mm-hmm. the place where you can address the ugliness, you know, quote unquote, that's living inside of you that you don't want there anymore. So
I'm 100% on board with that. Yeah. You know, I've talked to my mother before and she's like, oh God, I can't like look at photos of myself. I can't watch videos of myself. And that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And exactly to your point, why is that? It's because it's so uncomfortable to see ourselves and actually be with ourselves.
Right.
And that's exactly the work that I've been asked to do. I think we all, you know, have been asked to do is see ourselves and be with ourselves. And
with ourselves
with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it definitely, you're right. It ties back to your definition of self-esteem and that being such a spiritual connection for you or a connection to God is that worthiness thing. If you feel like you're, for whatever reason, not making the cut in your own mind, then question what those probably lies that you were told at some point or picked up along the way or learned through entertainment or who knows where, discard them, you know, look at them, find them, seek them out, and then discard what doesn't serve.
And sometimes you can't find the root and you just have to just tell the thought to go away. Like right before we came on, I posted a video of me laughing with my daughter and I almost didn't post it because I thought my laugh sounded so hideous. I was like, God, why am I laughing like a hyena? And so I was like, this sounds awful. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm saying that my laugh is ugly. Like a laugh is joyful and it's joyful happiness and I'm with my child. And here I am criticizing my laugh, which is like, it's an expression of happiness, you know? So I didn't even like, with that, it's like, I can't find the root there, but to just tell myself like, how absurd is it to question things like that about ourselves?
The root could be as simple as you feeling unworthy of laughter. I mean, unworthy of expressing uncontainable joy that sounds silly to your ego mind that's supposed to be like this concise this adult that's supposed to act a certain way that who knows where that impression came.
Mm-hmm. It's just crazy that we pick ourselves up.
Yeah, we really do, to the most smallest minute details. Mm-hmm. So I have a question here from our magic mob. Sheila on Instagram asks, do you have any practice you use in your daily routine that helps you to keep you at your best?
Yes. I love that you asked this. Move your body. Mm-hmm. I find ways to move my body.
That's so important.
That's so important. I'm not talking about fitness. I'm not talking about doing something to like try to make my thighs tighter so that I look a certain way. I'm talking about like learning to express love literally through my body. So if it's getting up in the morning and like stretching and doing like 5 to 10 minutes of yoga, or if it's going on a long walk.
Yes, walks.
Walks are so underrated.
This is so important.
I don't know why people forget to that that is like such an important part of being and loving yourself and feeling good is literally movement.
I spent the better half of my life not under that impression. Of course, when I was younger, I played and all these things. So you were expressing that way, but then you get to a place where you begin to be an adult, you know, again, that idea of whatever that means to you. And you don't play, you don't find time for running and dancing as much as you used to. And you become stagnant, especially in our culture of like 9 to 5 office job, sitting at a desk, this type of thing. And now I've been, of course, reminded through just trying to get my own body in a healthy state mentally more than even physically. And mental fitness, the first thing my therapist told me to do when I started therapy was break a sweat every day. That means you need to break a sweat for 20 minutes too every day. So however the hell you want to do that. She didn't give me any guidelines of how. It was just, that's your goal. And that's because if we move our bodies, we move all of the nasty, stuck stuff, especially
out.
We're chemical beings. Those chemicals need to move through our bodies. When they sit, that's called depression and anxiety and panic attacks and all the ugly stuff we don't want to do. So if we can get that stuff flowing, that is numero uno importante. I agree.
Can I tell you, one of the most healing practices I ever did was start going to ecstatic dance classes.
Yes.
You know, you both light up, you know, about ecstatic dance.
At our live podcast events, we include ecstatic dance in the,
Love it. Love it. It is my favorite.
Very powerful.
So powerful to express yourself through movement.
Yeah. Turn on your radio, you know, channel on your Spotify or whatever and move your body. And you can be silly because you're at home. You don't have to worry about anything. Just do it.
Yeah, exactly. Act like an animal, close your eyes, get really weird and stupid. Like to find ways, I'm of course like doing it on tape right now, to find ways of moving your body that you and your like normal mind would not do is such a creative practice that moves you into the right side of your brain.
It
moves you out of the logic and structure and it moves you into flow. That is literally a spiritual practice.
That's so true. And I just love, for me, it like really, I feel like it rids me of my ego more because I'm having to not care what I look like and not care what people are thinking and stop thinking about what they look like and what, you know, so that's one of my favorite parts about it too. But I've never ended ecstatic dance and not had some sort of revelation.
Exactly.
Some sort of download.
It's almost like a type of meditation with movement that like in meditation, you usually have some thoughts come up that you really needed to think about, you know, and when movement's involved, it's a different way of that, you know, bringing that about, but you're still in such a state of flow, like you guys are talking about it. Maybe, you know, that's might be a more woo-woo term than some are used to, but that state of flow is just this place where energy is literally moving through your body. And in this case, when you're dancing, you're causing that energy to flow. And in that state, you get to have a sense of stillness is the opposite word, but it's actually like a sense of what stillness means in meditation, where you're finally calm enough that you can see the real shit you need to think about that's going to help you heal or move forward in your life. So I think I'm not good at articulating that yet, but we'll get there, guys.
No, it made sense. We had on Karangi, great in ecstatic dance. He tours the world leading ecstatic dance, and we had him on the show, and it's one of our favorite episodes.
Yes, he can articulate exactly what I'm trying to say. So that episode. Do you have any daily practices for affirmation besides dance? Like anything that's specifically affirming?
Or to build up self-esteem for women?
Yes. So I actually I change affirmations every single week. There is this incredible spiritual center that I go to here in Los Angeles called Agape. And surprisingly, in every single one of their sermons, they have everybody stand up and do different affirmations for the week. And they're the same 5 ones, but written in different ways. One is about your connection to a higher being. and reaffirming that. Another is always reaffirming your connection to prosperity and that there is never any lack. The other is to divine health in your body, that your body is intelligent and it can let you know when something's wrong and that you have the resources to always heal that. And then the other is just all about gratitude. Always an affirmation, reconnecting to the fact that everything that you have is because of source around you. So they change every single week, but they're always pertaining to those. And I wake up in the morning and it's the first thing I do. And when I'm really good about it, it's also the very last thing that I do in my day.
Oh, see, I begin my day every morning with a 20-minute meditation, but I did not think about ending it because I am running till I can barely make it into my bed. So, but that's, I bet that would make a world of a difference in my sleep and in how I felt when I woke up. And I'm familiar with Agape, but for me and our listeners and Mercedes, I'm sure too, do they put those online so that we can, okay.
Yeah.
They have an Instagram or something.
They do. They have an Instagram. I want to say it's Agape Spiritual Center.
Okay.
On Instagram.
Cause I'd love to change every week and use that as an outline. So
great. Yeah. Well, you can also find them on their website. I want to say it's agapelive.com.
Yeah. I've heard great things about Agape.
So amazing.
This being the magic hour, we do pick your poisons. And this one's from Ross on Facebook. He said, would you rather always be able to see 5 minutes into the future or always be able to see 10 years into the future?
I would rather be able to see 10 years into the future.
Yeah, me too. Seems because more useful.
Far more useful.
What but also poker.
Well, you would definitely know if it worked out or not. It would just, you know, your timing would be a little off. But definitely 10 years. Do you want me to explain why?
Yeah.
Yeah, 10 years, just because it would always be reassuring that everything always works out. Which, of course, a part of me knows everything works out.
Yeah,
it always does. So, like, I'd be able to chill.
Yeah. If you're like, in 10 years, I'm dead. It kind of still worked out. You're like, well, then don't have any regrets until then. Yeah.
Exactly. But also,
like, every day you're going to be like, oh, in 10 years, I don't give a shit about what's going on today. So none of this is as urgent as I'm making it.
Well, that's such a good practice generally, that 5 year, like we usually, when we talk about it, we talk about the 5 year, like any big issue you're facing in the moment. If you are sitting in it and you feel overwhelmed and you're like, what am I going to do? I have no idea what, you know, how to make this decision. It's too big. A great practice in that moment is thinking about what you'll be thinking about that situation in 5 years from now. So like looking back at it, you'll be like, damn, I can't believe that stressed me out so bad. Like it was not that big of a deal. And it makes you aware that you're going to get past it. You're going to be fine.
And you stressing isn't what solved the problem.
Totally.
But the 5 minutes one, that would make things so much worse for me because I'd be like, oh crap, in 5 minutes, I still haven't gotten this done. You know, like it would only add more urgency to my day. So no,
it would be such a distraction.
Yeah. What about you, Mercedes? God. I feel like you're going to give 5 minutes just to make it interesting.
I got to, both have their benefits, I think. But I do think the 5 minute thing, if you can get, because like think about a psychic, you know, in that mindset, if you can think about things 5 minutes from now and be present and you have a way to turn it on and off, I think then we could work with something that might be something good for you. Okay. But yeah, I think if you just constantly are like living in the 5 minute, then you're never present and you never, you know what I mean? Like you would never be able to move. Yeah, always your 5 minutes is going to look like shit. It's going to look like I didn't get that thing done because that's all you're doing is sitting in the 5 minute zone way out there instead of being present.
Would have skipped a lot of relationships with the senior one.
I could say that too.
They were all our teachers, but
yeah,
definitely could have been shorter.
I wonder if we actually would skip or we'd just be like, all right, I'm just going to do it. It's
gonna end I would probably still just do it. I had a lot of fun in my ex relationships. I can't lie.
Yeah. So much learning. So much learning. All right. Let's see. What do we have? A few short questions we like to ask everyone who comes on the show.
Yes.
First off, if you could
Oh my God.
What are we doing? Today we're having struggles with words today. If you could hug your younger self right now, what would you say?
If I could hug a younger Chelsea, I would tell her like, hey girl, just relax. Play. Life is a game. I loved games.
Really? Like younger. What?
Oh, girl, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. I was just competitive and loved to play. Mm-hmm. Whether it was hide and go seek or whether it was Uno or...
Oh my God, those were my two favorite games you just listed.
Oh.
We would have been best friends. Yeah. I love that game. I will still play today, Uno or hide and seek. I'm ready. Oh,
I own a Uno pack and I still love hide and seek.
I love, at that old house that you visited, we would play Mexican train dominoes after dinner. And it is still to this day one of my favorite memories is like just playing Mexican train dominoes with my roommates after dinner.
Yeah. I love playing Taboo. Taboo's like super fun. I feel like you're getting like all that Alzheimer's plaque
enough.
I know.
What you call
I'm going to start hosting game night.
Alzheimer's plaques. Yeah. Like you're getting that stuff, breaking that stuff loose because you got to use your brain so fast for those.
Yeah. I'm going to start hosting game night.
That's what you got to do. I got to do the same thing.
I do it over here pretty often.
Oh,
I
really?
First of all, I got to stop traveling.
I got to move back to LA. If you could have the whole world read one book, which would it be?
Ooh, my heart just burned a little when you said that.
I like that reaction.
There's so many really good ones. One book. I'm just like, can't do one.
Do you have one book that is like what turned you on to reading generally? Are you a big reader?
I am. I'm a big audiobook person. Mm-hmm. But there's one book. I want to make sure that I only read it once and probably of anything ever, it just really stuck with me. And I want to say that it's called The Man Who Spoke with Flowers.
Mm.
And it was about George Washington Carver.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of it, but I gotta look it up.
So George Washington Carver, Peanuts, remember?
Okay.
Yeah.
The Peanut cartoons?
No, girl, just
that's Wikipedia. Where my head went.
Okay, Wikipedia was after. Okay. George Washington Carver, I want to say that he was like a black man back in like the late 1800s or early 1900s that discovered the many uses of the peanut.
Oh.
Yeah, and his insight was just so deep. Like they talk about him in this book, the way that he would like literally, he would meditate on this plant and just like come up with this and this and this and this, and you could make a peanut butter and then it's oil and it's all these like different things. And he had this incredible spirit kindred relationship with plants.
With the peanut plant.
Yeah. I don't know why
not. I mean, why not though? First of all, can we go back and like get in touch with him, you know, psychically or through a medium or something? He's passed. You're talking, this is a long time ago.
Yeah, right?
Definitely.
Where we can ask him about what the peanut allergy situation's all about. It might be GMO related, maybe, but that's something interesting. But besides that, think of all the ways that peanuts have like helped this species move forward, because they're full of so much protein. We use them in so many ways, and in almost every culture uses them in some way or another. Wow. I got to look up that book. That's interesting.
It's so funny. That book like just sits in the back of my mind, but I have never, I'm just like, oh my gosh, like what? I'm impressed that with my brain that's the one that came forward.
That's the one that came
forward. Well, it left an impression.
It did. I read that like 12 years ago. That's why I'm like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm. I like it. All right. I like that that's something, I mean, that's a real niche topic, but I like the idea. I mean, no, because we have, of course, so many people, you know, recommend some that we've heard over and over, which are beautiful and amazing books, and we want to hear that over and over because we want people to read them. But when it's something that touched you, you can't really help the fact that that resonated for some reason or another, and it's probably just the guy's energy and not even what the book is about.
Yeah.
That's it. And what his energy, and that's basically what I got from the book, is that everybody wants to have mastery at some kind of craft or mm-hmm. skill, right? And the way that this man got to master learning the many uses of the peanut and putting them into practice and in the American society and the rest of the world, it's incredible to learn about his process of learning mastery. Mm. That's what I took away from it.
Oh, that's deep, girl. Yes.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Okay. If you could whisper one phrase to everyone on the planet, what would it be?
Breathe. Mm. Yeah.
It's good.
That's something that I've learned through acting, which is I used to have a tendency, I noticed, to hold my breath. Mm-hmm. When I first started acting, a lot of people do it. And it's just like a natural reaction to like puff up and be seen a certain way, right?
Yes.
And like when you breathe, everything just softens and relaxes. And that's when you actually have access to yourself. Yeah.
It's a reminder that's literally always needed. There's never a time where that whisper in my ear, if you could do that and go, whole world could hear you whisper one phrase to them. There's no one not needing to hear that. I feel like it's, I mean, maybe if you're underwater, don't take a deep breath. But other than that, I think that's it's so valuable and it resonates with me because I have the same thing. And I think in this, especially in the modeling career or just people in general trying to, like you're saying, look a certain way. We puff up our, we hold in our stomachs, puff up our chests. And the fact that we've even seen trends come and go throughout the ages of these waist trainers or in the, way earlier times where they were wearing the corsets where they literally would pass out from not being able to breathe. Why we find that attractive, I understand it signifies this like abundance of estrogen and being able to procreate because that's what creates curves on a woman's body and these things. But not being able to breathe fully, like if you think about when you breathe fully, right, you got to like expand your bottom of your diaphragm, your belly puffs out. And I think there's a lot of reframing we need to do around that being attractive. Because to me, if I see someone deep breathing like that, I'm like, oh, hell yeah, you're sexy. That's what I'm looking for. Somebody's
I love breathing. I used to always and people would ask like, what's wrong?
Yeah.
Especially like ex-boyfriends, like, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
And I was like, it just feels good. Like it feels good to take a deep breath. But that, what you said, Chelsea, is the third reminder I've had in 24 hours. It was just breathe. Like this is kind of cheesy, but last night I was watching This Is Us and it was like flashback to a war scene. And the guy said, we're trying so hard to stay alive that we're forgetting to do the one thing that keeps us alive, which is breathe. And he said that, and I had just read something about stopping and breathing. So it's like the last 24 hours, that's been a really good reminder. Wow. So Chelsea, first of all, what are your upcoming projects so we know to go see those things? And then where can we find you online?
Yes.
I want to support your movies.
Thank you. Well, my upcoming projects right now, I am currently recurring on Station 19, which is on ABC. Mm. It's about a female-led team of firefighters. It's a really great show to support.
Oh.
Yes. Shonda Rhimes is behind that, who did Grey's Anatomy and also Scandal. She's amazing. So currently I'm on there. I also am recurring on the new Star Trek Picard. So if you used to be into Star Trek back in the day when Patrick Stewart was playing Picard, I want to say that was Star Trek Discovery. It was Star Trek Next Generation. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's reprising his role and that was a role of a lifetime.
Yeah,
so that's going to be online on CBS All Access starting in 2020. And then, I also have my first feature film, which is Top Gun Maverick. Tom Cruise is coming back. and that was also a dream to work on.
Yeah, I bet.
So some fun things are in the works. I feel really blessed.
That's amazing.
That's incredible. I'm looking forward to all that. Yes.
Yeah. And then where can our listeners find you online?
Yes. And you can find me online on Instagram at Chelsea31. I'm super active on there. I love when people message me, comment. Let me know if anything in this conversation touched you.
Yes. Oh, wait. At Chelsea Harris31.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool. I think it was right. I heard it right. I'm not sure. I just want to make sure our listeners are the right place to go.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Chelsea, this is so cool. This is like, I know I'm just like getting to e-meet you. I know Jade knows you in person, but hopefully we'll get to hang sometime. And this has been fantastic. I love the work that you're doing, not only of course on the big screen, but also just for especially young women who are looking at people in the entertainment industry and thinking they want to be that or comparing themselves to that or whatever it is that's, you know, bringing up our youth, you're helping to make that something that's relatable and attainable and healthy. So thank mm-hmm. you.
This was seriously so much fun. And I love the work that the two of you are doing.
Thank you.
Yeah. And especially from your vantage point, because I feel like there needs to be strong bridges between having conversations about, you know, a spiritual, mystical, what are these ancient tools? And like, how do we also ground those in real life?
Thank you.
Yeah, we're trying our hardest on that.
Appreciate it. I think you're doing it.
Yes. That's a good word to end with, healthy. Yeah. Thank you so much, Chelsea, for sharing your light with us.
My pleasure. This was so much fun.
Oh, she's just the sweetest. I really, 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 she just like radiates beauty.
She really does.
Like inside and out. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing, people. I know you're just listening to this on this podcast, but I want to just say that that's a real thing. There are people on this planet
that radiates pure, genuine, honest, raw beauty.
Yeah. Yes, it does. It exists. And it comes,
I think, when people are like unapologetically themselves and they're comfortable in their own skin. And that's really hard to come to.
Right. And that's what I wanted to say is, of course, she's beautiful. She's a model and actress and all these things outside. But we can all step into that type of energetic beauty.
Yeah.
So, you know, doesn't matter what you look like, where you're starting from, all those things that we think are so much of what beauty means, all the external stuff, forget about it and just do the work of stepping into it from the inside out, like Chelsea was saying.
Yeah.
Love that. Jade, what's your magic trick? I could go on all day about this.
So, my magic trick is, you know, we mentioned the bullying that we've all kind of encountered when we were kids, about our hair and, you know, the racism that we brought up and stuff like that. And so my magic trick is for it's for parents or future parents or aunts, uncles, whatever. If a child comes to you and is crying because someone called them stupid or ugly or, you know, anything of the sort, instead of just, telling them that those people are wrong or that they're bullies or trying to get them to understand why that person did that. Mm-hmm. Instead, just say, I mean, you can do that too, but make sure that you ask, well, are you? Because doing that is going to challenge them to get to know themselves outside of the opinions of others. And it's going to teach them to question the assumptions they have about themselves as well. And I also wanted to add a quick story that my pastor shared. He has an 8-year-old daughter and she had classmates pass her a note that was calling her fat or chubby or whatever. And she brought it home and she was, you know, crying in her room and just really sad. And when he got home, he just went into her room and he wrapped her up and he just held her and he just told her, you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. And not everybody has someone. Some kids go home and they keep that to themselves. Some kids don't have a dad that reaffirms them like that, you know, but I think it's just so important that especially right now when bullying is rampant especially on, including online now, which is way worse than when we were kids. I think it's so important that we're not only talking to our kids about not being a bully, but that we're constantly, you know,
teaching them and telling them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Their truth.
Giving. Yeah, exactly.
I was the type of kid who didn't tell anybody anything. I mean, literally anything. Even when I was like, you know, not a kid anymore, teenager, I guess, when I ended up getting breast lumps, you know, in my breasts, and I went to Planned Parenthood to assess my breast lumps because I didn't want to tell my parents that I was possibly had breast cancer. You know, like I didn't. And obviously that's the most scariest thing. You think, oh, I'm going to die, because all the health classes you go to tell you if you find a lump, you're like in trouble.
Thank
go to
God
the doctor.
We didn't have Google back then.
It was enough, whatever I had, because I was scared shitless. But nobody knew because I wouldn't tell anybody for whatever my own reasons were. But I think that that's really incredible what you're saying. Like, just making the time and space to go be with your children and hold that type of loving space with them and sit with them and say, I love you so much, you're so beautiful, or whatever the words are that come to you.
Just you are enough.
Yeah.
Just telling your kids that.
And just hugging them and
like
just a touch from a parent, that type of like loving touch says so many words just in that, like you are wanted, you are loved, you are, you know, this beautiful being that I want near me, you know, all those things. So
Well, what's your magic? What's your magic trick, I mean?
Oh, my goodness. I got a lot of magic. All right.
Don't leave me here all night. Yeah.
All right. So my magic trick today is a confidence hack. It's really three confidence hacks or three ways to raise your self-esteem. And I'm going to make this kind of specifically for men. It can play into the realm of women as well. You'll see what I'm talking about when I start talking here about it. It's inspired by something I saw on YouTube, a channel called The Distilled Man. So it's a little more male focused. But so first thing you want to implement is, like Chelsea, our guest today, was saying, move your body. And Jade and I repeat this all the time on the show. It is so freaking important.
Motion before emotion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just move your body. The best way to get out of your head, where all the negative self-esteem draining thoughts live, is to actually move your body. And this is, like I was talking about earlier, this is going to help you physiologically change your state of mind by allowing you to produce feel-good endorphins that reduce anxiety. And I actually, little quick story on this, used to work with an announcer at Supercross who, before every show, we would be backstage and he'd be jumping up and down, jumping. I mean, like jumping for like a minute straight, which is, if you've ever tried to jump for a minute straight, that's actually a lot harder than it sounds, just to get his adrenals flowing, because you've got to move that negative anxiety and, you know, those feelings through your body. And when you're talking about self-confidence or self-esteem, a lot of that stuff that is, you feel like it's just you, you know, it's just who you are and you're not confident, you don't have high self-esteem, is bullshit, because it's just chemicals that it actually can be moved through your body and removed from your body. So, and even if you can't exercise, you can just deliberately adjust your posture. So this is like a little sideline on that. You can adjust your posture and that has some really positive effects. It's just like power posing. I don't know if you've heard of power posing before, but this is something where you could just be putting, you know, standing straight up with really, really straight posture with your hands on your hips, like in a superhero pose. Hold a pose like that for 2 minutes. And that's actually said to lower your cortisol and raise testosterone levels, which can produce a calming effect and make you more relaxed and more confident. So that's a little tidbit there. And then number two is take a calculated risk. And I know that might seem a little backwards, since you're probably thinking that in order to take a risk, you need to have confidence, but I don't agree. I truly believe that it takes about 15 seconds of bravery to conquer just about any moment where you feel afraid to take a leap of faith. So if you're single, try talking to that girl you've been wanting to get to know, or if there's a skill you've been wanting to improve, sign up for a class for it, attend a conference or take a trip where you don't know anyone else. I love this tip because stepping out of your comfort zone can skyrocket your confidence, even if it doesn't go the way you hoped for. Just because of the simple fact that you actually had the balls to try something new in the first place. And after a while, I don't know about anyone else, but for me, it's like you kind of get addicted of this idea of looking fear in the face because it creates so much positive momentum in your life, you know? And that's probably why my favorite saying is that seek the pain for positive gain, because that's where this comes from. It's like, go into the stuff that it scares you, because I promise you, if you do that, the worst case scenario is it doesn't pan out, yet you still did it. I mean, that's better than not doing it and staying stagnant. Okay, and then number three, my last item on boosting self-esteem is related to something we've all heard of, which is positive self-talk. And although I do believe using positive affirmations and using positive speech to psych yourself up does work in the moment, it's kind of tough to make it a habit, and we often fall back into our old patterns of doubting ourselves. So I want to suggest, instead of using affirmations where you're basically telling yourself that you've attained something that you haven't actually attained yet, like, I'm an incredible dancer, I'm extremely confident, never get embarrassed, you know, these are the things you'd say to yourself, which can actually, they do give you a little jolt of good chemicals and can get you into that mode of, okay, I'm going to take those good chemicals and run with them and use that 15 second, you know, be brave for 15 seconds that those chemicals last and jump into the thing you want to try out. But instead of the positive affirmation, try using positive assertions. So this is something new I learned, and positive assertions are things you can legitimately summon on your own. So for instance, you could use the assertion, I am willing, as in, I am willing to become a good dancer, and I am willing to make a fool of myself on the dance floor to impress the ladies. So it's kind of putting the words into a context that make you go, you know what, that is totally true. And that really allows you to align with that statement. I think that can be powerful in building self-esteem.
Yeah. I like that. It reminds me of a lot of what we talked about in Sexual Attraction.
Which we still haven't aired, but we will.
Just wait, guys.
Oh, God.
I like that a lot, though. And it's perfect for this episode, I think, also.
Cool. I hope someone gets something good out of it.
Yeah. All right, Magic Mavers, thank you so much for tuning in and taking this journey with us. If this episode held some magic for you, please share it with your friends and family. This would mean so much to us, you guys. And don't forget to join us on our Instagram page at The Magic Hour and let us know what your favorite episodes have been so far. We appreciate all your feedback and want to know what's lighting you up.
Yes, and as you already know, we release a new episode every Monday, so you can catch us again next week or go listen to some of our past episodes in the podcast library right now. We will meet you there. Until then,
be a light. Big thank you to @RaytoneRoyal for our intro jam and to John Aaron Garza from Real In Motion Productions for producing the show. Stay magical, friends.
Quick disclaimer. We are not medical professionals, so following any of our protocols or advice should be done at your own risk, people. And please remember to always, always do your own research. Tap into that extraordinary growth mindset we all have access to within ourselves and seek out your own answers. Come on, guys, you know the deal. And by the way, if you are a medical professional or an expert in any topic we cover and you feel we are not giving accurate information about it, please find somewhere to contact us. Contact us via social or email us at our website and let us know. A major goal of ours in doing this podcast is to bring value to people's lives by sharing helpful insights and info. So we welcome being corrected at any time, and we'll be happy to share any of our fuck-ups with our listeners so as to get us all back on track to discovering our happiest, healthiest selves.